Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Hello, Dr. Looper. How are you?
Hello, Haley. I'm doing great.
Good.
Feeling good.
Good. And I think that is something we tend to talk about on this show is how to feel good. But more specifically, I have been thinking that so much of feeling good is how we're interpreting our environment, how we're interpreting the circumstances and the situations that we live in, and knowing that stress is a huge impactor to overall well-being, I think it would be beneficial for us to talk about perhaps creating a happy little bubble in which we live in to better our overall health.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The thing is, we live in a time where there's a lot of distress and there's this kind of zeitgeist is worrying about things. And it's interesting to me because I'm old enough that I've seen a lot of worry kind of come and go.
It has repeated itself, hasn't it?
Well, when I was a kid, what the worry was nuclear annihilation. And then as we got more clear about it, it wasn't not just the annihilation, it was nuclear winter. We didn't have to be nearby where the nuclear bombs were going down. And we would all die anyways because of the effect on the planet.
Fallout, yeah,
right,
the
fallout and also the changes of weather that would kill people. And so there was this worry to the point where people were building nuclear shelters, and we were practicing for what happened if we had a kind of a nuclear attack at school. We'd hide under our desks and things like that. Around the same time, there were other worries, and it really weighed on me as a kid. I mean,
yeah.
I was like 10 or 12, and I would worry about these things.
Well, then it was also like, oh, population increase. There's going to be too many people on this planet to sustain. And now here we are, and we're looking at population decrease. We don't have enough.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, population, overpopulation was, you're going to kill the planet.
Right.
And we were all going to die a horrible, painful death because of overpopulation. Especially China had really, the population was just exploding. And now I had a conversation with my kids a few days ago about decreasing population,
mm-hmm.
and how countries are fighting to try to get their population to go up. You basically get a negative. As the birth rate goes down, then there's not enough kids to replace the old people that die.
Or take care of the old people that,
there's that
are
too,
going
right?
out. Yeah.
So anyway, things fall apart, and eventually it gets to be where there's not enough drivers on the road to pay for the roads, pay for the upkeep of the roads. And so things tend to get shabbier and they tend to decline. Now, in an area where the population is going up, there's a lot of new money, there's a lot of drive to build things. And this has been the world that we lived in, at least on the West Coast, where we were building new stuff and new neighborhoods all the time. And now it's not like that. Population is still growing, but it's growing not because of the birth rate, it's growing because of immigration. And immigration is not allowed a lot of places. They just don't really have immigration, or not much. And so the population is actually declining.
Right.
In Europe generally, in South Korea, in Japan, there are these places where they're actually losing population. And so it's a crisis. And it's a crisis that's gaining momentum. And it struck me as odd that the exact opposite
mm-hmm.
of what I was worried about when I was a kid has come to pass.
And it's just so, I feel so much for you as a kid, being 10 years old, having such a large thing that you had no control over, but you still felt that immediate sense of pressure and that immediate sense of what can I do about this?
Yes. You know, a lot of that's going around right now. Lots of kids, lots of adults, lots of people really worried about global warming, and they're worried about, you know, the growth of authoritarianism.
Dictatorship.
Or they're worried about the fact that the
aliens,
woke
the
thing
UFOs.
Has been gaining ground, and suddenly we have all these crazy people doing crazy stuff, and now it's the new normal.
We live in a day and age where we have the most crazy things accessible to us at any given moment. And these phones and these social media platforms are all generated to peak their numbers. They all want to get an audience. So what are they going to give you in order to get that audience? They're going to give you the most devastational garbage that they can.
Yeah, it's worse now than ever.
Yeah.
And it was bad when I was a kid, and it is way worse
now.
And
that's the highlight reel that we get. We don't get the calm or the parts of life that are working as much as we get the parts of life that aren't working, because they are trying to incite a sense of fear in us, because then they can sell us something to mitigate that fear.
Yeah, I got a patient who I saw today who got married about a month ago. And she said, I'm not sure if I'm really comfortable bringing a baby into this world, Dr. Looper. And I can understand why she would say that. But I also reminded her, I said, you know, every generation really says that. In the 60s, they were saying exactly the same thing. In the 70s, they were saying the same thing. In the 80s, they were saying the same thing. In World War I, they were saying the same thing. In World War II, they were same thing. The Crimean War, right? The war between the Athenians and the Spartans, I'm sure they were saying the same thing then, too.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's a normal thing to have us worry about the situation that we're in, whether it's appropriate to bring kids in, and yet, thank goodness, the kids keep coming.
Thank goodness, because that
I'm a fan of kids.
Our future, that's our future right there. Our future is the children. Our future is this next generation to redefine, to resave the world, to change the world, either for the better or for the worse, but that is what we have. And if there aren't any kids in the future, then we're left with ourselves and what we have now. And that's not really working.
It's interesting how things have changed, how fewer people are getting pregnant, fewer women, fewer families are choosing to have kids.
And women, too, are choosing their careers. And, too, we live in such a weird day and age where people aren't getting married. Nobody prioritizes the nuclear family. We're all kind of doing it independently.
It's an age of anxiety.
It is.
Yep.
And so now we're attached to these devices that show us everything we have to be concerned about all the time. We get dopamine rushes from these platforms that we're engaging in to keep us on these apps.
Yeah, they're addicting.
And so we can't turn it off because there's a new news cycle every hour on the hour.
And we're trying to feel good. We're trying to feel right.
And or we're trying to resolve an issue to this problem that's never going to be resolved.
Yeah, there's a way to say this. It's not happiness. It's kind of, your happiness is getting close to it. It's peace of mind. Peace of mind. We're looking for peace of mind. We want to feel right. And so the politics that resonates with people is the politics that speaks to peace of mind. And if you can promise peace of mind, if you could promise people you're going to solve problems, you're going to get a lot of traction from that.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to want to sign up for whatever you're doing because that's what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not everybody and everywhere and always, but the more than ever, there's this hunger for peace of mind.
Well, and that peace of mind brings health, brings longevity, because the more we spike our stress hormones, the more we put our liver through the ringer of processing all these hormones, the more we overeat to soothe ourselves, the more we gain weight, the more we reach for these other Band-Aid treatments to feel that peace of mind the sicker we get.
You know, you mentioned food as a way to feel better, and certainly that's a common way to do it. But, you know, food is weak sauce compared to a lot of other stuff.
I don't know. Ice cream.
I'm thinking meth. I'm feeding fentanyl.
Yeah, those are bad, too.
You know, a few little specks, right?
Those are really bad.
Except for they're really good, because they're the solution to the problem. You want to feel better.
For a minute.
Sometimes a minute is as much as you can ever get.
Yeah.
And so people are hungering to feel better, and they are willing to do drugs to be able to get there. And the drugs also include
ice cream. And not even to go into the hardcore. They want nicotine. They want to smoke marijuana. Marijuana is now legalized pretty much everywhere in the country. They're talking about legalizing psilocybin, hallucinogenics. And all of this is just in an attempt to escape reality, because we, as a society, we haven't been trained to just sit with it and to be indifferent about it. I think that those are, well, in my own experience, I went through a pretty hellacious September with some big disappointments, and I was pretty distraught. But there was still this portion of me that was kind of observing it all. Like, this isn't the end-all be-all. This isn't, like, the end of the world. Like, good, bad, who knows? Who knows? Later on down the line, who knows what this will bring? But, like, it doesn't have to be the worst-case scenario right out of the gate.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Bad things happen. Bad things are happening. It's not fake. It's real. Real stuff is happening. Now, it's not all falling apart the same way everywhere. It's in bits and dribbles is what it is. And the fact of the matter is there's ways for you to make a happy life. Happy, is that the right word? A life that is fulfilled and has meaning in spite of the fact that things are falling apart.
Right.
Okay, so think of it this way. The universe is going to hell in a handbasket.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's still possible to make a bubble of happiness.
So ignorance is bliss?
No, not at all. Not at all. The thing is, we have to pick and choose stuff that results in us feeling empowered. Now, the problem with all these other problems, this global warming, and overpopulation or underpopulation
political
or pollution
upheaval.
Or whatever, there's all this, a bunch of stuff going on, is that the amount of impact we have on these things as an individual is small. Now, it's not zero. We can make choices as individuals, and collectively, we have great power. That's true. Except for we are, in fact, individuals.
Yeah.
And what we can do ourselves to change these big, sweeping patterns of history is small.
Right.
But the things that we can, the things that are closer to us, we can make changes there that have a huge impact on our peace of mind.
Yeah, like how you treat another person or how you interact with your children or your coworkers. Like, just keeping it in, like, an arm's reach, not reaching over the wall and trying to change the political landscape.
You know, it's funny because the examples you're giving are way further than the ones I was thinking of. I'm thinking like eating carrots.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, you know what? How you feed yourself is how you're going to feel yourself.
Well, I've been studying this.
Yeah.
For decades.
Right.
Really thinking long and hard about it. These are the conversations I've having with myself when I graduated from medical school 30 years ago, and I was really thinking deeply at that point in time. I was an adult, and I was thinking deeply about the things that we can do, and I could do as a doctor, and we could do as people, that make an impact on our health, and not just our health, but our peace of mind. You know, if you can call it happiness, happiness is probably as good a word as any, because it's a happiness project is what it is. Except for happiness makes me think that we're all going to Disneyland, and it's not that way. It's not glee. It's more of this deep-seated, I like things. I feel good about life.
Contentment.
I'm looking forward to, you know, the future. I feel hopeful. I feel contented.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to strive, but I don't feel overwhelmed. I don't feel shut down. I feel like, yeah, we could do something. That feeling. That used to be a common feeling. People had the feeling all the time. And then it's become less common. Where it's, I don't know if it's uncommon, but certainly not as common as it used to be. Things have actually got worse.
Yeah, because we're constantly feeding ourselves worse and worse and worse. And we're also, like, comparing ourselves to what we don't have. Like, we go on social media and we get to see everybody's lives. We get to see everybody's lives that are better than ours, who have more than us, who do more than us. And then we're left to feel like...
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're right. You're right. 100% you're right. Except... what do we do about it? Are we going to change the internet? Are we going to shut it down? No.
No.
I mean, the internet has
also... You just
got to
moderate yourself. You just got to limit yourself and also, you know, change your internal dialogue and eat food and sleep right and exercise and drink enough water and do all of the things that we've said for the last 2 years on this show.
Yeah, so right. So this is... We're saying the same thing over we said before. But the way we're saying it is different, and we're emphasizing a different aspect to it. Here's the aspect, which is bad things are happening, and they're real. But it doesn't have to shut you down or inhibit the possibility of you being happy.
No.
It is, even with all the stuff going on, it is actually possible for you to have a peace of mind. It is doable. Not only is it doable, but it's not even necessarily that hard. Now, admittedly, it's overwhelming, and where do you start? And most people wouldn't even know how to begin, and that's why people cast about for some sort of thing that you could feel better now. And so they, you know, drink a six-pack or snort something or who knows what. They're doing all kinds of things to feel better, for sure. And, you know, God bless those people, but they're not. It's not working.
Yeah.
Eventually you're going to sober up and you feel worse about things than they were before.
Right.
It turns out as a strategy of life, that's a poor strategy. It doesn't work. So now, okay, great. But what else does work? And it turns out a bunch of stuff. There's all kinds of things that work. The thing is, though, that I'm going to emphasize is that this is the kind of thing that comes with practice.
Yeah.
And as you get better at it, you start getting confident more than you were before. You start making choices, decisions that lead you to experiences that you feel better about yourself.
When I was early in my recovery journey, I heard that in order to get self-esteem, you had to do esteemable acts for yourself. And so I was like, sponsor, what does that mean? Break that down. And they're like, make promises to yourself and don't break them. If you say you want to get up and make your bed, get up and make your bed. If you tell yourself you're going to go to the gym, go to the gym. But just start making these minor promises to yourself and don't break them. And then after you get used to making promises to yourself, you feel better about yourself. Then you can start making promises to other people.
Yeah. You're exactly right. This is the thing. When I listen to people or even I think about myself, I got plans.
Yeah.
They're up here.
Oh, yeah.
Except for I can't do that. In my mind, I can. It's a lot easier to think of it than it is actually do it. So what I have discovered over and over and over again is bring it down to here.
Yeah.
That little step, that's where we start.
Yeah.
A little teeny step, a baby step. I'm going to drink more water today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I drink more water.
I'm going to eat 3 full meals.
There you go.
Get to 2.
And so
that's
you get a
enough.
Step. And now you're starting to build your confidence.
Yeah.
You do this for a couple of weeks. It doesn't take a year.
No, it literally, like, 3 weeks.
Tops!
Maybe.
You just less than that. To really get that sense, like,
and
hey, I'm on the right track.
Two, if you fall off, guess what? Life is a dance. You have forward steps and you have backward steps, and it's not always all going to be forward. You're
yeah.
going to go in a circle, and you're going to go backwards, and it's not going to be just this linear thing. So, like, I know for me, I get really stuck into the perfectionist paralysis where I don't want to do it because I won't do it perfectly, so I'm not going to even do it. But then I just don't do it. And then I just sit there and beat myself up about this great idea that I have that I've put no action on. And then I'm tired or I don't have the energy. And it does. It affects my mood. It affects how I feel about myself.
It's a spiral. The worse you feel, the worse you are, down you go. The nice thing about those positive feedback spirals, the death spirals, right?
They go up too.
They go up too. You get to go in the other direction. You the better you feel, the more you do, the better you feel, and up you go. And so I love when I find those. I'm like, woohoo, we got something to fix here. Mm-hmm. This is an easy entry point into someone's case is to turn one of those around. Now, if you're holding yourself to perfection, there's no way you can do it. You'll eventually just going to fail. You're going to fall off. But if you hold yourself to good enough, then you can't miss because good enough is good enough. And now you got motion. You got forward motion going, and you build up this confidence, and your experience is happiness, more peace of mind. Peace is probably the right word because again, it's not glee. But there's this like, yeah, I like this thing. Mm-hmm. So we got the idea now. Let's talk about some ways to actually do it. Let me illustrate the point with something simple, which is sports. My little boy is in soccer. And so he's easy to see this in a nine-year-old because nine-year-olds, they don't know much. They're just kind of goofy. And they make poor choices. And
they're not thinking forward. They're not thinking that if my teammate has the ball here and those teammates are over there and I go over here, then that teammate's going to go over there. They don't have that yet.
They have some kind of vague sense of that. They don't have an immediate sense of that by any means. But they have some kind of, if you tell them we're a team and you have to kick it to someone and they can kick it in, they have, yeah.
We can do that.
Well, the thing that I've noticed with this sport is, first of all, you're running around, and so it's just fun. And then you're vying with these other kids, and some are better and some are worse. But everybody has their moment. Mm-hmm. Even the worst kid on the team, I've seen make a stop and kick the ball. Mm-hmm. And like, woohoo, right? We get moving it in the right direction. There's this engagement that is part of this thing. And there's a boosting of your sense of control.
Yeah.
Like, I can do something that actually makes the situation better. Mm-hmm. It's so vivid. It's so immediate, the feeling you get in sports.
Yes.
Think of the people who are worried about global warming and say, what do you do about global warming? I mean, what action do you take? Well, you can buy a car that's electric. And you
or
can,
not use a car, you can just bike.
You can bike, or you can, yeah, there's a number of things that you can do. And are those things helpful? Yeah, in theory, but are they actually turning global warming? No.
No, because we still have mass-producing countries.
Yeah, millions of people are doing these things, mm-hmm. and we still have billions of people not doing these things. So the big sweep of history is not in the right direction. Now you feel powerless. Yeah. I'm making choices, I'm making decisions, and nothing's happening. I need more people to do this thing. Yeah, you're right. You do. And in the meantime, what you need to do is things that build you up that are closer and more practical.
Yeah.
Make decisions that result in you feeling better in your bubble.
Mm-hmm.
The space that you can reach with
so
your hands.
So your immediate community, what can you do to help impact the environment?
Yeah, I'm not talking community. Right. You're right. Community is
no,
the town I live in.
That's what
I'm
I would
talking
think.
The space that you inhabit.
Right. So from the space you inhabit, you then practice certain things within your reach, within your direct awareness. And then from
your
there,
reach meaning how far you could grab it with your hand.
Yeah, in your household, essentially. And then from there, after you feel good there, you can then spread out to your community?
Yes. Okay, now we're up here.
Right.
Now we're talking community. Really? I mean, how am I going to do with my community? I mean, I can go vote, right?
Vote.
But you're going to go join a club that's going to go do this thing for these people. This is way past the vast majority of people's comfort zone. They're already overwhelmed. They're already too busy. They already got stuff going on already. They always have this thing. They don't have the money. They don't have the time. They can't sleep. Their knee hurts. See what I'm saying? obstacle. The people who can get to that point, God bless those people. They're great, but it's way beyond everybody else. Bring it down. Forget community. Work on you as an individual. Yeah, really kind of the borderline of this thing.
Work from the inside out.
Yeah, I would say there's your skin and there's the stuff on the outside. Yeah, whatever. And then there's the stuff on the inside. Work on that. Whatever's closest to you is where you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. You start working on getting your guts to work better and your lung to work better and your blood to flow better, you're going to feel way better. It really is going to make a difference in your peace of mind.
And all of that, I think, starts with the amount of stress that we intake into our system. If we're constantly elevating our cortisol levels, our catecholamine levels, we're putting a lot of pressure on our liver, and our liver cannot filter our blood and do its job.
Yeah, let's review this again, because we talked about this before. You're exactly right. When you feel stressed, your body releases stress hormones. These hormones equip you for action. They take blood from your digestive system, and they move it to your heart, and your muscles in your brain, so that you can bob and weave, so that you can pick up a stick and you can whack things vigorously. Because in the old days, that's how we solved problems.
Yep.
And we felt empowered. You get a stick and you whack things 3 or 4 times with a stick and you solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The problem goes away, right? Because it's a bear.
Mm-hmm.
Whack, whack, whack.
Yeah.
Hey, I feel good.
Right.
Right? Seriously, happiness comes, that you get a gleeful effect from that.
But we constantly put bears on our face, on our phones, and we aren't killing the bear.
And you can't, first of all, you pick up a stick and you start whacking them. It doesn't solve the problem nowadays, because they're not solved by a stick. You can't solve your problems with a stick, with a rare exception. And if you do try to whack it with a stick, then especially if somebody's involved with this, they send you to jail. So
right.
Don't do that. It's
right.
A bad idea. But nonetheless, we got this program in us that's left over from caveman days, and it's alive and well.
Yeah.
And this is how we deal with it. We feel threatened. Our body releases chemicals that create this change where our digestive system gets a short end of the stick. Less blood goes to our guts. More blood goes to our heart and our muscles and our brain to do what? To fret.
Yeah.
To doom scroll.
To sit there in the worry rocking chair.
Yeah, and not knowing what to do and feeling powerless.
Yep.
You know, you could make a donation. You know, I don't know, maybe feel a little bit better about it. You can go drink a beer. You can maybe feel a little bit better about it as well. There's a number of things that you can do. You could flip on the TV and unplug your mind and then just take it out of there altogether, and you feel better. You feel more relaxed. And people are doing all of those things. And yet when you wake up in the morning, you don't feel better. It looms. The problem's still there. You still feel funky. Your liver's now kind of irritated from the fact that you didn't get hardly any blood flow going on, and you ate some things that weren't good, and you drank some stuff that you shouldn't have drank, and now you feel horrid, and now your life is crap, and you're miserable, and join the crowd.
And everybody's
you and millions
here. Yeah.
Feel this way.
So.
Yeah, so what
take
do you,
it in, and just worry about your little bubble.
Yeah, make some choices of things that you can actually affect.
Yeah.
Make some choices of things that you can do, and you can actually do it for real, and practice at it. Do it every day. Do some baby steps. That's what you set it up. If I had to pick one thing, it was going to be the absolute biggest bang for your buck. It's going to be some sort of exercise. So the thing that I'm going to recommend, we're going to do another show on this and kind of break it down better. But for our purposes today is to set aside first thing in the morning. You wake up, you use the bathroom. Next thing you do is you do 10 minutes worth of stretching. Don't call it exercise. It's too much. Exercise is overwhelming. I don't want exercise. But I'm willing to do some stretching. I'm willing to do some warming my body up. So the thing I choose to do is I get on my hands and knees, because it's the easiest thing I can think of. If my brain ever says, I don't want to do it, I think, really? You don't want to get on your hands and knees. Because it's easier to get on your hands and knees than it is to stand up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the lower energy state, right?
Yeah.
That's about as low as
gravity's
I can get.
Helping
I mean,
out.
I could, I guess, lay on the ground,
sure.
Which I do actually at some point, but this is easy.
Yeah.
Right? Gravity's bringing me down, I'm going down, and so I do this little stretch thing. Not only that, but the stretch thing is so instinctive and so obvious that my cat does it and my dog does it. And that's where you go,
cat back. Little cat back and
yeah,
some
and I
cows.
Do this little stretchy thing in the morning, and I do the little stretch, and then I push against the ground, right? And then I turn to the side, and I turn to the other side. And now I'm starting to wake up.
Yep. Dr. Looper, we are over time on this episode. So
okay. There's so let's, more. You know what you do? Let's do a series on this. This is an ongoing conversation. This is not a one and done conversation. We're going to go through and actually talk about the individual ways to do this. You and I. Let's
okay.
do that.
Okay. We'll pick up next time.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.